Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John concludes the series entitled, Knowing Your Adversary. The majority of Christians do not understand who the devil is and how he operates. Anyone talking about casting out demons is viewed as extreme and to be avoided because modern medicine has disproven their existence. But to the untold multitudes who have suffered demonic attacks, it is a matter of survival on a daily basis. Ted Pike recently shared details of Lynn's struggle with evil spirits that culminated in her suicide, and Pastor John points out three mistakes made by the Pikes. Using the Bible, he shares personal events from 41 years of deliverance ministry and how to fight and overcome these attacks. This message is entitled, Alyn Pike's Death. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today that I can be here and have a pulpit. And Father God, I have the chance to preach. And Father God, I just ask you right now for your Holy Spirit to anoint me, anoint everyone listening, Father, so that, Lord, you shall be able to communicate between us and that your will shall be done today in this message. And I thank and I praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. And I want to say to you that are watching us, welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on February 5th, 2012. Now, I want to prep you about this message. This is not a message that I like to preach, as I said before. I have been thinking and praying about this for more than 3 weeks. And most people have never encountered demonic activities. Probably many of you will never encounter it like we're going to talk about it today and be happy for that. But I believe that as we're coming down to the time of the Antichrist, that the demonic pressure is going to increase. And I believe that it behooves us to learn what's happening and what's out there. Let me just read to you here right now. The death of Lynn Pike, wife of the well-known minister Ted Pike of the National Prayer Network up in Oregon, sent shockwaves within the Christian community when he decided to share about the terrible demonic war he and his wife had been involved in for many years. Many graphic details were given in his report, and since most Christians are totally unaware of demonic activity, it has created many questions. And in this message, I will share what Ted revealed, and we're going to examine it from a biblical perspective. Now, I want to say about Ted and his wife, Lynn. They were of the Baptist background, and they belonged to a, would you call it, a traditional church. He's not a lunatic. He's been very precise in his writings, presentations, and he never shared this with anyone until after the death of his wife. Now, in 1971, he decided to write a book, Israel, Our Dude in Dilemma, which we've been selling here for many years, about the myth that the current state of Israel is a work of God. Now, he went to a cabin in the mountains to be alone and write undisturbed, but there was no peace for him. This is the description of the first attack, and it's from his report. This is what he said. That night, my sleep was shattered by violence, racing nightmares. I was woken at least a dozen times. I had never experienced such mental assault. This continued every night. Unable to write, I returned home. Soon after, I became so weak I couldn't walk 500 feet without lying down. Over a month, I experienced dozens of visitations by tangible presence in the night, temporarily paralyzing me, overwhelming me with a sensation of evil. For the next 12 years, I could do only light work for no more than 20 minutes, usually accomplishing only 5 hours of work per week. If I pushed myself, I would be flattened by immobilizing exhaustion for at least 5 days. I existed on 5% of my former energy. Now I want you to turn with me to 2 Timothy. That's 2 Timothy. And the demons that attacked Ted here, this was before he was married, as Timothy 1:7, was a spirit of fear and torment. The spirits of fear and torment. In 2 Timothy 1:7, we read this. Let me go to 2 Timothy. I'm doing really well. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There is a type of spirits called fear. And when those spirits attack you, you actually become paralyzed. I'm sure that everyone in this congregation and everyone watching me at one time or the other have experienced fear that was beyond what you could think about yourself. That is a spirit of fear. And in Matthew 4:24, that's Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24, we read this. And his fame went throughout all of Syria, and he brought unto him all sick people. They would take him with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Spirits of torments. I want to share with you now, quickly, a story that is for my life. Because I want to tell you and share with you that what Ted experienced is true. When my brother and I was growing up, we lived in an older house. It was about 34 years old at that time. 3 stories plus a basement. And my aunts, prior to me being born, had been involved in the occult. And both of them died. And Peter and I, we didn't know anything. We didn't think about it. But sometimes when my parents would go away on an evening, visiting somebody, we were left alone, we would hear doors open and close. We would hear voices. We would hear steps, somebody walking. And he and I were petrified. And the only thing we knew what to do, because none of us really had a relationship with Christ, would be that we would sing song. We would get a little songbook out, a Lutheran songbook, and me being maybe about 8 or 9 years old, and he a little bit 5 years younger, we would lay there in bed and sing our hearts out, and it would stop. And the moment we stopped singing, it came back. We were petrified. Years ago, we're talking now about 1976-77. As I was a pastor of Christian Life Ministries, Carmichael just down the street from us here. And we had the warehouse, no windows on, we had closed them up. And we had about 4,000 square feet at the bottom, about 3,000 on the top. And as I'm driving down one day, no one would work in the office that day except me. And the moment I came into the parking lot, I was absolutely frozen with fear. Those of you that know me, you don't scare me that easy. And I was just sitting in the car, and then the thought came in, we're in here. We're in here waiting for you. And I began to pray. And when you have that fear, it just totally tightens up your whole stomach area. And I knew this. If I would drive home, I would forever be fearful. And I knew this. I had to conquer this. I prayed. And I decided this. I was going to go in. And I would go into the entire place, not turning on the lights. Opened the front door. I walked in the name of Jesus. And I walked through every room and every hallway. And I tell you what, it was a tug. Waves of fear would come down. I would push them back. And eventually when they came into the most innermost of the whole thing, it lifted. And I walked out. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I thank you I won this victory. And from that day, I have never had any fear. I will not have any fear because I have been able to conquer that through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean the demons will leave me alone. They come in different ways. But fear, I conquered. What made a difference between me and Ted Pike? I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that surged through me when I walked through that dark complex. And I want you now to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. That's Hebrews, the first chapter. We're going to read the last verse, two verses in that chapter. That's Hebrews 1. If you pick it up in verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I believe that around me are angels with me at all times. When I walk away, when I drive, wherever I go, I have these angels, and so do you. These are ministering angels. And I want to share another story with you. I shared it with you probably some of you before, but I really want to make a point right now. I was about 15 years old. My grandmother had died. And we were petrified of death and dead people. In Sweden, this will go back to 1955, they didn't have mortuaries like they do here now. So they simply, the morticians came to our house, and my grandmother was laid out in the basement in the washroom, and they laid out the table there, and there was a coffin, and she lay there for about 7 days before the funeral. They had embalmed her. We only had one bathroom in our house, and that was in the basement. And so I was petrified, and I didn't dare to go to the bathroom. I would go out to the yard and do some things, but the rest of it I just couldn't do. About the third day, I was hurting so bad. And then I believe it was the Holy Spirit talking to me, saying this. Your grandmother loved you when she was alive. Why should she be hurting you just because she's dead? I thought about that. And then the thought came to me, and I believe the Holy Spirit, I want you to take two candles with candle holders. I want you to go down into the basement. I want you to go into the room, open a door. I want you to put these two candles on a casket and light them. And I did. I remember walking down, scared. And then when I got to that door, man, I opened it up, pushed it open. There was a coffin. I turned on the light. I woke up. I put those candles on that coffin. I lit them. And the moment I lit both of them, that room was flooded by a supernatural heavenly light. It washed away all my fears. And I had an awesome presence of God, the Holy Spirit. I just stood there 15 years old and I just basked and I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I was actually almost into heaven itself. And I remember I walked out, no fear. And for the next 2-3 days, I would go down and pray and feel that same thing. I walked up to my aunts and they were crying. My dad was crying. I said, don't cry. She's in heaven. It's nothing to be afraid of. She's doing fine. I could share probably hours with you of supernatural things I've gone through. But they are real. But you got to confront the demons. You cannot run from them. Let's go back to the outline here. Now, Ted married Elaine in 1984. And she was a strong Christian with a healthy body. But shortly after their marriage, she was struck down by demons. Elaine was attacked by the same type of evil spirit that attacked Ted and began to drain her life power. And here's what Ted said. After the wedding, my new wife, who was formerly able to work full time, walked up to 10 miles daily, jog and practice piano several hours a day, suddenly became extremely weak. We tried to leave for a honeymoon road trip, but only got a few miles. Elaine was so nauseous and exhausted, she had to lie in the grass beside the road. For the next 16 years, she experienced unexplainable, deliberating fatigue comparable to mine. During these years, she never wavered in devotion to God and political freedom. She never shrank from the shameful libel of anti-Semitism hurled against her husband, who criticized Jewish supremacism and Israel. She was not just willing to bear any shame or suffering for the sake of truth. She earnestly and repeatedly asked the Lord to let her sacrifice even more, if that would produce spiritual power. She accepted her weakness as a badge of honor. Her will and life was laid before the cross of Christ. Now, I don't know why Ted and his wife did not seek help. I did talk to them on the phone. And I asked them this. I said, why didn't you seek help? And in tongue in cheek, he kind of said, where in the Bible does it say to call for those that are specialists in casting out demons? I said, Ted, he doesn't say in the Bible that. But he says, call for the elders of the church. He said, John, I am the elder. He didn't go out, he didn't ask any help. Now, I want to share with you of a reality. This goes back to Salt Lake City, probably around 1966. And we were good, my wife and I were good Baptists. And we had just been saved, joined the church, baptized in water, and happy. We were out witnessing and being to church and so on. And we were just normal, regular, happy Baptist people. And then one day, my wife and I, we drove down to Sears. We had an elder lady we took shopping on Saturdays. And I remember walking into Sears, we were talking, having a good time, just came up right up to the escalator, ready to step on it when I saw my wife fall down. And I turned around, and I got her up and held her, and she said, I felt like someone hit me with a brick. I said, well, let's just go home. We took the lady home, we went home. I didn't know anything what to do. We prayed about it at the church. But for the next 6 years or so, she suffered immensely. Headaches that I could never even begin to understand. There were times the attacks were so hard that when I left in the morning, we had to pull all the shades down because she couldn't stand the daylight. And we went to doctor after doctor, examined her, x-rayed her, couldn't say anything. And so we were just like Ted and his wife. We thought we just had to live with this. We got down to the seminary in 1969. Praise God for the Full Gospel Businessmen's International Fellowship. And we went to a meeting. And here was a guy from the Ukraine, Bill Basansky, powerful preacher. And as he was preaching, after the service was over, my wife asked for prayer. And Bill went up, and just in the name of Jesus, he prayed a strong prayer. She didn't get healed right away, but she got relief. And in a few weeks, those migraine headaches ceased. She never had them since. And I began to realize there is something in the name of Jesus. For 6 years, I want you to hear me now. For 6 years, my wife suffered because of lack of knowledge. Our church meant well. Our pastors prayed for us. They loved us. But they couldn't help us. Because they did not believe, first of all, in a baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a baptism of the Spirit, you can't have a strong Satan. You got a weakened Satan if you don't have the Holy baptism of the Spirit. So we had to suffer. Let me take it out to Luke chapter 8. The Gospel of Luke. And we're going to look at the 8th chapter. And I want to pick it up in verse 43. That's Luke 8, 43. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him, that's Jesus, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude throw you and press you, and you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody has touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me, or power has gone out of me. When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she had been healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. 12 years of suffering. And this woman, all she did, she said, I believe if I touch just a garment, just the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Jesus has tremendous power. Matter of fact, Jesus has all power. And this is available to us. Let me talk to you now about the arrested development spirit. I did not know what an arrested development spirit was. But for years, I suffered one. I went through college. I got a master's degree in divinity. And I was a pastor of a church. I did all kind of things. But inside myself, I was a boy. I felt maybe 6 or 7 years old. And it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit, my intelligence, and my street smarts that made me able to function. We happen today to have my assistant pastor in church here from those years, Christian Life Ministries, and one of my deacons were there. And I don't know if they remember it or not, but we had when I had elders meeting and deacons meeting, I always said, hey, boys, let's get over here. We're going to have a meeting. I called them the boys because I was a boy. And whenever I went to a meeting, some other place, met other pastors, conferences, and so on, I would walk in intimidated, insecure, and I felt these are men. They are powerful. I'm just a boy. And that's how I lived for many years. Until I found out about the arrested development spirit. And when I found that out, now what is an arrested development spirit? It is a demon that attacks a child. You have a trauma. It can be divorce. It can be a car accident. It can be a fire. It can be anything that scares a child. And a demon comes in, locks down the emotions. And the emotions never grow after that. You stay whatever age you were when that happened. That's the age you are emotionally. And you wonder why we have so many marriages crashing today. The reason is that I would say that 90% of people living today have an arrested development spirit. And we have children marrying children. And then children having children try to raise them. And many parents feed their children more mature than they are. Praise God. I took care of that. Those demons, they were thrown out. And now I can say to you, I feel like a man. I am not intimidated. I am totally secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. And this is an absolute wonderful position to be in. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm going to pick it up in verse number 11. And Paul said this, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Praise God, I was about 45 years old when I put away my childish things. I just want to share this with you because I really want you to get an understanding. I was about 17 years old, and I was into wars. I liked to play wars and stuff. And I had a number of playing marbles. I had white marbles, yellow marbles, blue marbles, green marbles. And they were soldiers of different nations. I would use my shoes, what he called inside shoes and night shoes and so on. And the carpets in our home would be land. And outside of the carpet would be oceans. I would skip going to school. And I would pull all the drapes down and everything else. And then I would get my different marbles out. And I would have different nations. I would transfer them in my shoes from one place to the other, kind of have war. I was on the floor just laying like this. And then suddenly heard a voice. My brother had come in on top of me. And he said, what are you doing? Oh, did I feel ashamed. I felt so ashamed. But I couldn't help it. I was a boy inside. Many people are suffering from this. They don't know what it is. It's a spirit. And you can be set free. As we move on by this message. In 2003, Alin had a seizure while driving a car, and later she was diagnosed with a benign brain tumor, which was removed through surgery. This caused her to have symptoms of attention deficit disorder, bipolarity, and nervous fragility. And this is what we read it from Ted. On a pleasant evening in the late summer of 2005, Alin and I were strolling in a large rock quarry. Suddenly she exclaimed that the sky was covered with what seemed like an aura borealis of streaking, flashing lights, a living version of Van Gogh's Starry Night. She saw an enormous black silhouette of a man's torso and head in the heavens. This was all invincible to me. As we left the quarry of home, the sky remained alive to Lynn with fantastic shapes and lights. The star darting around, colored lights appeared on trees and moving cars and inside their own car. I have dealt with people who have had this kind of experience. They are real to them. Now, since the demons were not restricted by Ted and Alin, the manifestations intensified more and more. Let me go back to my wife and me. The first time we experienced something like this together was in Stockton. And we were there for revival meetings at a Baptist church. We lived, staying overnight at a family's home. They gave us a bedroom. And so we had just retired for the night, had a great meeting and so on. We was laying there and praying, and suddenly we heard a lot of voices in the garden behind us. And I told my wife, I said, now what's that? And she said, I don't know. It must have a lot of people out there. And then we heard them stepping around the house. And the next room to us was a garden room with a sliding patio. And we heard the sliding patio door open. And we heard people walking in, and we could hear the voices in the next room. Now fear had gripped us. We were so scared. My wife slid out from the bed, tried to go under the bed to find out that the bed had simply plywood on the side. You couldn't go under. So she just pulled the cover down, laid down on the side. I was laying in the middle of the bed, and I realized I had no place to go. I'm the head of the household. I'm the man. I put my hand up and said, in the name of Jesus. And I began to praise God. Instantly, the voices disappeared, the cloud disappeared, and it was peace. Later on, we bought a home up here in the Sacramento area. And we began to having visitors during the nights. And at this time, now we have got into deliverance, we cast out demons. And we would go to bed at night, we were laying in there, and then suddenly we heard people in our kitchen, which was on the other side of our house. And we could hear doors open and things slamming around and so on. And we would rush out of it, go into the kitchen, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And it got quiet. We went back to bed, and this continued for several days, weeks. Finally, one night, when we came home during the daytime, sometimes our refrigerator was turned off. Sometimes someone had poured water on our floor. Sometimes there were food we had in the refrigerator but laid out and spoiled. Now, you don't tell people this. They say, hey, you need to see the guy in the white coat. So one night, we're going to have the same thing again. I was tired. And I simply stuck my hand up in the air and said, in the name of Jesus, I'm not impressed. I'm not going to go out and chase you anymore. In the name of Jesus, go! Quiet. Praise God, they never came back. Learn this. When demons attack you, If you are able to have victory, they will cease. If they can scare you, they will continue. Now we have had attacks in other directions. But you see, we can be victorious. Let me read now what Ted wrote here. Soon the demons began to communicate through her voice box. She spoke in unknown tongues daily. Listen, you can have a speaking in tongues of the Holy Ghost, and there's a speaking in tongues of unholy ghosts. She said she could powerfully feel the demons in her throat, upper chest, as well as nonstop chatter from them in her brain. They constantly resisted her attempts to pray. Her house was filled with clicking sounds, streaking lights, whirring presses across the ceiling, and occasional sickening odors. I'd be overcome with intense nausea for no reason. And Lynn saw a galaxy of every kind of lights in nature, in the skies, in our house. One evening in the dark, she described for an hour how the Oregon City Bridge bristled with Christmas decorations, with trolling, streaming, and flashing lights. Curiously, when she took her glasses off, it was the same bridge I saw. She sometimes saw my eyes glowing green or purple. She was shocked by an eye staring at her from inside a sink drain. She said a menagerie of fantastic glowing creatures like slugs and worms swarmed around our night light in the darkness. I once flashed an encouraging V for victory sign to her, and she then saw glowing V's in the tracks of my footsteps, following me through the house. Going outside, she saw an enormous V in the sky. I frequently saw momentarily tiny, intense red lights in the trees, fields, roadside, and houses. On one occasion, she pointed out large grass-green squares, like a lattice imposed on the evergreen forest, and I saw exactly what she described. My wife often complained of cacophonic music from our unknown source, which I heard occasionally. I saw an armadillo-like mechanical animal crossing a road, like a whirling propeller-like legs. And then he goes on and describes here what happened. Let's drop down here. In 1983, a newspaper was placed upon my first. In 1983, a newspaper was placed upon my first finished 345-page manuscript of Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma. Both were thrown to the wood stove and consumed. The demons seemed eager to tell Lynn they were responsible. They also told her they had caused all the factors possible, her tinnitus, depression, ADD, that kept from playing her beloved piano. A demon told her he didn't want her to have self-confidence. Now, things begin to disappear and come back and disappear and so on. Every day for nearly 6 years, Lynn frequently babbled in tongues. Among gibberish, two names were always clear and repeated many times daily. The first was Baal Shem Tov. The second was Shabbatai. Students of Jewish Kabbalism will recognize these as two of the most esteemed and wicked Jewish Kabbalists in history. Baal Shem Tov founded Hasidic ultra-Orthodox Judaism. And Shabbatai was in the Kabbalah. Now, here we have now a family, husband and wife, tormented for years. Since the demons have been allowed to roam freely in the home of Ted and Lynn, the demonic forces began to final onslaught to kill her. And this is how Ted describes it. The preceding malevolence toward Lynn was mild compared to the mental and physical attacks that soon came. She experienced concerted violent seizures of irrationality, preceded by greatly heightened demonic chatter and accusations. Following such manifestation of bad, Lynn almost predictably became manic. A dangerous self, she had to be taken to a mental hospital. There she quickly calmed and became entirely rational. The same thing happened about a year later, and we protected her at home by wrapping her in a blanket. She raved incessantly for 36 hours, with a wildest profanity and a rate of speech of which I never would could believe the human mind and tongue capable. Then she suddenly became suddenly calm and perfectly coherent, remembering nothing of the experience. One night, after I had gone to bed, she knew a major attack was coming. She decided to spare me and go out to the implemented shed to do battle alone. She was lifted up in the air and thrown violently back and forth across the room, littered with hard metal edges. Miraculously, she survived unbruised. Another time, she was suddenly hurled with a milling into space and fell 50 feet down a 45-degree cliff headfirst. She emerged with only briar scratches, protected by angels from breaking her neck. Just as incredibly, after every major attack, she boldly asserted the will to undergo this torment for Christ's sake. Now, she didn't understand. She simply began to say, I'm suffering this for Christ. This is the mistake. You don't have to suffer for Christ like this. Christ died for this. He took all of this away. Now, I'm not going to give a name on this, but we had in this church, one of our esteemed members, cool, collected, not a lunatic. One day, we went in office on Madison, and she got picked up from her, she was in the office, and simply thrown out on the floor, just flying in the air, and just crashing on the floor. Miraculously, she was not hurt. I could give more examples of stuff like this. They do happen. The last day for Lynn. During the month of September 2011, the demons attacked her through binge eating, and she started to become obese. Then suddenly the demons made her sick of food, and she rapidly lost weight until it became a life-threatening situation. She became nauseated just to try to eat, but the demons could not kill her this way. They went for a final assault. Let me talk about anorexia and obesity. These are demons. Now, I have seen this in people. I know it is true. You might have a demon of gluttony. You don't want to eat. You don't plan to eat. But you're just stuffing yourself and you can't help it. And anorexia, you look in the mirror, you're already thin. I dealt with this many times. The girl might be very thin, but if you look in the mirror, she sees a fat woman. She understands intellectually, I need to eat. She understands that. She sits down to eat. And then the demons make her vomit it out. She can't keep the food down. People that are sick need to take medication, supplements, whatever it is. The demons know that this is good. And a person gets violent and begins to throw it up and can't keep it down. It's a spiritual battle. It's raging out there. Now, this is how her life ended. This is what Ted wrote. When she was alone, Aline began to experience a sudden overwhelming conviction that she was hopelessly evil and always had been. No amount of faith could redeem her. She had committed the unpardonable sin. The grace of God, which avails for others, could not save her. Her very identity was insincere and opposed to God. Some of you are watching me right now. And Satan is attacked in your mind and saying you are not sincere. That's a lie. It's a lie from Satan. That's how he comes in. Sure we are sincere. Unless you're an actor or actress. Her very identity was insincere and opposed to God. As an Achan in our group. And Achan refers to Joshua 7, the man that took the silver and the gold and hid it. And they got defeated. His name was Achan. And so Satan told her, this is what you are. You have sinned. You're destroying Ted's ministry. And she felt obligated in service to the Almighty and to a minister to die by throwing herself into the rapids of a nearby river. Satan simply said, Aline, you cannot be saved. You have committed the unpardonable sin. Let me tell you what, that's a powerful spirit. We had a man from Switzerland here not long ago. And I worked with him for more than 10 days, spent 2 days every day. But he had a spirit of accusation that said, you have sinned. His first wife divorced him. And then he married somebody else. And the demon said to him, now, you have committed the unpardonable sin. You cannot be forgiven. You got to go back. They tormented. He could not eat. He destroyed his second marriage. And I couldn't get this demon. I showed him Bible verses. Deuteronomy says that if you are divorced, you marry somebody else, you divorced again, you cannot go back to your first wife. I said, that's in the scripture. The demon simply overpowered him. I have seen people in mental institutions, and they're day and night saying, God, I can't be saved. I can't be saved because I committed a sin. Listen, if you ever have that attack, don't try to fight it yourself. Go to somebody and say, I need help. Pray with me. Because those demons are powerful. And Lynn went out, threw herself in the river. And then she realized, she woke up, she crawled out to the river, and she go back to the house and said, I'm not going to do this again. But let me tell you this. Hear me now. If you don't deal with the demons, they will deal with you. They've been around on this earth for 7,000 years. They know people inside out. You cannot fight them in the flesh. You got to fight them in the spirit. And then, on November the 10th, she got up. She asked someone that night, which one is the tallest bridges in Portland? And they told her the bridge. And that night, she drove to the bridge, parked in the middle of it, got out of a car, and jumped over, and she died. And the body was taken out of the ocean. They never found it. It's gone. The demons killed her because she could not shake this assault. I am guilty, sinful, can't be forgiven. Anytime you have compulsive thoughts, anytime you feel guilt, listen closely now. The Holy Spirit convicts us. When you're convicted of a sin, it is not hopelessness. You're convicted. And then you feel a need to repent. And when you repent, you're forgiven. But when you are bombarded with guilt, there's no relief. Guilt. I cost us. I'm responsible. That's a demon. Don't receive that message. Turn to the Gospel of Mark right now. The Gospel of Mark. We're going to look in chapter 5. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. They came over to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. And the fetter broken in peace, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now, demons have to bow to Jesus. When there are revivals, every lunatic in town will show up. And the demons will confess that Jesus is Lord. They will also destroy things. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God that you torment me not." For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, 7,000, for we are many." When we have had deliverance here, we cast out demons, 10, 15,000 demons at times, lots of them. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mount a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devil besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave him leave. And the unclean spirit went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violent down a steep place to the sea. There were about 2,000 that were choked in the sea. Why did the demons do that to the swine? Very simple. Once they killed the swine, they got out. Could go and find some other people in torment. Remember this, if you work at a hospital, if you are a fireman, ambulance driver, policeman, if you are in a place where people are dying, there are evil spirits coming out of these people right there. Hospitals are full of them. Prisons is notorious for this. And if you look upon people in the medical field or the law enforcement field, you will find that many of them, as they grow older, they experience divorce. They turn to drugs and alcohol. They become suicidal. Many commit suicide. Because when a person dies, the demons step right out. And they simply said, "Let's look for another vehicle, another person." And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, had a legion sitting enclosed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they saw it, told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And instead of saying, "Jesus, we love you," they said, "Jesus, please leave. Don't stay here. We don't like you." Now, I believe that if Ted and his wife had sought help and had demons cast out, she would not be dead today. But this is what happened when you try to simply fight it. And the demons lied, because Ted told me this. He said, "The Holy Spirit told me that we could not have anyone help us. This was our fight. We had to fight this ourselves." This goes against the Word of God. Now, let me take you to Revelation 1. A couple of things here before we wrap it up here today. That's Revelation, the first chapter. And I want you now to see how powerful Jesus is. How powerful he is. Revelation 1:13. "And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes was a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went the sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. My Jesus is powerful. He is resurrected. He has all the power in the entire creation. Satan is nothing to him. The demons are nothing to him. And the only thing the demons can do is to convince you and me that they are more powerful than Jesus. And then you tie the hands of Jesus. Someone once said, it's a dumb story, but I'll tell it to you. Somebody bought a lion and as a pet. And he had a lion out bound on the front lawn. And he said, I got to make sure that no one steals the lion. So he bought himself a poodle. And he let the poodle loose out there to protect the lion. And someone went by and said, what is the poodle doing out here? He said, he's protecting the lion. And the man said, why don't you just let the lion loose? And he would take care of himself. Let Jesus loose. Turn to Matthew 28 now. Matthew chapter 28. You know, in most churches, if I would be in a normal church, quote unquote, I would never come back. They would say, thank you very much. Here's a little check for you. Don't come back. Matthew 28:18. Look at that. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. You can go any place on this earth in the name of Jesus if you're doing his work. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. If you ever want to read a good book, Nora Lam was a Chinese lady, missionary. And in the early 60s, she was in China, persecuted. She was arrested. And she was taken to prison. And she was pregnant. And she prayed a prayer to God. And she said, God, I don't want to have my child born in prison. And one day they were going to take her out to shoot her. And they lined her up. And they couldn't fire. The bullets simply went around them. The man in charge, the officer in charge, got so enraged he took in the office. He took up his gun, his revolver, just to her head and just going to shoot her. And he said, click. And he looked at it, lifted it up and shot it. Boom! It went off. Then he realized that she had protection. He got scared. Her child stayed 15 months in her womb. When she was released and allowed to go to the United States and had a baby. Can you imagine that, ladies? 15 months. Of being pregnant. And she had a healthy baby. Supernatural. Why? Because she believed in God. Now turn to Colossians chapter 2. That's Colossians chapter 2. Would you believe when I was preparing this message this week that I had visits and they tried to scare me, tried to goof me around? And you know what? I told them where to go. They can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. Colossians, the second chapter, verse number 13. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I am forgiven, you are forgiven. Blotting out the handwriting of orders that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I have been in many deliverances. And sometimes we have demons that will not want to go. And I simply said, now you demons, I want to tell you something. You were in Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago. You were called out when Jesus stepped up from the grave. And you heard his voice saying, come here. And you saw Jesus having you to bow and kneel. And then you saw Jesus crush the head of the devil. I said, remember that. Now get out of this body. You know, when you remind them of that, they just melt. They know. But you see, they will not go unless you have faith. If you don't have faith, they're not going to go. You've got to have faith in God. Turn to Mark 16 now. More good stuff. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. My favorite chapter. The professors hated this chapter at the seminary. Said it did not exist. Mark 16. We pick it up here in verse number 15. And he said unto them, go ye out. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them believe in my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Listen, if you believe, if you are born again believer in Christ, these signs will follow you. They shall take up serpents, they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's for you and me. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. God did not confirm them people, he confirmed his word. Back page, mistakes made by pigs. This is my analysis. Ted was deceived by demons when he said that the Holy Spirit had told him and the Lynn to battle the demons alone. I'm not going to read James chapter 5, but if you go to James 5:13, it says, call for the elders of the church and let them pray for you. Secondly, Ted and Lynn believed they had to suffer for Christ since they were doing his work on this earth. There is no place in the Bible we are told to submit to tormenting spirits from Satan. Instead, we are told to resist. 1 Peter 5:8. That's 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Listen to that now. I preached on that. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He wants your marriage. He wants your children. He wants your grandchildren. He wants your health. He's trying to devour you. But look what he says. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of grace, who has called unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settled you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Jesus took all our sicknesses on his body. By his stripes we are healed. When somebody says, I'm sick to the glory of God, I'm suffering for the glory of God, Jesus took that disease. You don't have to suffer that disease. Jesus took our sins away. You don't have to pay for your sins. It's done. And then point number 3. Satan hunts the victim the same way a pack of wolves hunts the prey. They never try to kill a whole herd of animals. Instead, they select an isolated animal and then go in for the kill. The pikes are blinded to understand this truth. I share with you my situation, my life, my wife's life. Have you asked for the help of the elders many times? Just maybe about 2-3 months ago, I was severely attacked by demonic forces. I couldn't fend them off myself. We came down to a prayer meeting. I simply said, elders, you got to pray for me right now. I need help. And they prayed. And that spell, that destruction was broken over me. This is what you got to do. Now, at the bottom here, you see I talk about Christian Dynamics course number 1. 16 years I worked on this final manuscript of this book. If you're watching me today and you said, well, I haven't heard too much about this, or I don't know really how to do things, I sat down 2 years ago and said, I'm going to write down step by step by step how we do deliverance, how we pray, how we break the curses, how we throw the demons out, how we break ungodly soul ties. Because the Holy Spirit told me, write it down. There are many places you will not be able to go, but your book can go there. And the people can pray themselves and learn. If you're watching me today and you say, I'd like to know more about this, I would say this is the book that you should have. It's a book you should read. Many people in this church bought the book. But God bless their little hearts, they never read it. They're just like many other things. People don't like to read. And the devil said, that's fine. You don't like to read. So don't read. Some people say, well, I only read the Bible. Well, that's fine. Praise God, at least you're reading that. But there are other things that you need to read also. Get educated. How do we close a message like this? Here's how I'm going to close it. Most of you that are here today in this congregation, in the building, have been through deliverance. Some of you have not, but you have chosen not to go through deliverance. You that are watching me now, I would say a bunch of you have not gone through deliverance. You have identified with some demonic problems I spoke about today. This would be a good time for you to simply say, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to seek help. We're going to pray a prayer right now, and then I want you to contact our ministry. You can call us, write us an email, but contact us and give us a chance to minister to you. Let's stand for prayer right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you that you helped me, Father God, to finish this message today. And Lord, it was not a pretty message. But Father God, I sure like the ending, that you are powerful, and I serve a risen Savior that has all the power in heaven and on earth. And I pray right now, Father God, for those that have not been through deliverance, those who are afflicted and are crying out inside, Holy Spirit, move upon them. Holy Spirit, take away the guilt. Holy Spirit, give them hope that there is hope in the name of Jesus. Give them the courage to pray out. What now? Dear God, forgive me my sins. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Come on in, Jesus, and be my Lord and Savior. Come on in, Jesus, and save me. And to those of you who are saved, just pray this prayer, Jesus, I suffered for many years with different things. Help me, Jesus. Set me free from the demons. And show me how to do it. And then thank him in Jesus' name. Amen. He will. Call us, write us. Those of you that are here, the altars are open. The elders are here. Deacons are here. If you need prayer today, don't think, well, if I go up, people are going to think I'm demon-possessed. That's hogwash. You might have a sickness. You want to pray for something else. Whatever you have in need of, the altars are open. You come in Jesus' name.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the final part in the series, Knowing Your Adversary, and was entitled, Alin Pike's Death. The story of Alin's life leading up to her suicide has created many questions. Pastor John shared personal events from 41 years of deliverance ministry, and showed from the Bible how Ted and Alin were deceived by demons masquerading as the Holy Spirit into thinking they needed to go it alone. They also thought they had to suffer for Christ, but there is no place in the Bible where we are told to submit to tormenting spirits. Satan was also able to isolate them from the body of Christ, and the Pikes were blinded to this truth. The Bible says that Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, and Pastor John shared many details of his life which are found in Christian Dynamics Course 1. This book is a summary of what he has learned in his 41 years of deliverance ministry. Thousands of people have had their lives changed as they moved from defeat to victory, and the same can happen for you. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1328. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.